Thank you, Dave. Thank you. We're going to continue on this morning in Romans, but turn to Hebrews chapter 2 first, would you please? A few days ago, I was in Grants Pass, and my car has a habit of drinking. And I can't get it to stop. When it does stop, I complain, actually, beside the road. Anyway, a gas station attendant filling up the little vehicle. We got in a conversation about church, actually, and I had a Bible study coming up that night, Wednesday night. And it delighted him. Really? What church? You know, and then he said, actually, I go to church on the internet. And he gave me the names of a couple of people that he searches out, and they're not healthy names. They're not Bible teachers. He said, but I listen to them because it makes me feel good. Okay, yeah. It makes him feel good. Okay, so there's the other side of that. Why would he want to feel good? Because life has a whole lot of feel bad. Now, the scripture is a precious, precious thing to us. It isn't there to make us feel good. When we come together to worship God, it is not to feel good. It's not about us. Now, sometimes I feel good, and I'm glad for feelings. But life is so full. Mine is, I think you'd say yours is too, of stuff that is shaky, stuff that is not so fun to deal with. And so those moments where I can feel good, man, I'll lay my hand on and grab it. Don't want to let go. But reality is I have to face another day. Affliction, difficulties. And if it's not one thing, it's seven others. Anybody else relate to this? Okay. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 describes Jesus, the seed of Abraham from verse 16, singular seed. Not all the seed of Abraham. 2:17 of Hebrews will get us into our role this morning. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things. He became physical, really. He really did have to nurse off of his mother's breast. She really did have to change Jesus' diaper. Ooh, those are weird thoughts, aren't they? I think he even had to go to the bathroom. He was like us. Well, that's before bathrooms, you know what I'm saying? Little euphemism there. He had to be made like us in all things, that he, or so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, and that's for us, between us and God, to make propitiation. That's a big word we discovered in Romans a few weeks ago. Satisfied, completed sacrifice to connect us with the living God for the sins of the people. Verse 18, there's a Greek word that can be translated trial, or it can be translated temptation. It depends on the context. The running context here is not, as my translation has it, my translation says, for since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, wait a minute. He went through trials in what he suffered. Later on, it talks about him being tempted in every way like us, yet without sin. And so he is there for us to reach out to for help in that. But right here, the Greek word, I believe solidly, should be the word tested. So verse 18, for since he himself was tested in that which he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tested. Yes, he comes to our aid when we're tempted, but that's not the context. When we're struggling, when we're in affliction, when we are being tested, the wording here, he is able to come to the aid of those, is, it can be understood, he is able to respond to the cry of a child. Every parent in here knows what I just said. I mean, there's the times they trip and fall and they need to get over it, you know? But then there's that certain one that you go running to find them. That's the idea. I'm a child of God. And when I'm going through the stuff I have to go through, he is fully able and listening for the cry of this child. In Romans chapter 5, you can head there if you'd like. Romans chapter 5, it gets into this of trials, of trials, of afflictions, of struggles. I am glad that the Bible is not just a sweetened, candy-coated version of some religion. It deals with real life. It deals with real life for every one of us of whatever age. It gets into things that are embarrassing at times, convicting, absolutely. But it deals with my life. I have afflictions. I have struggles. We're going to be talking about that this morning. Romans chapter 5. Went down through the first couple of verses last week. But I'd like to begin at verse 1 and read through 11. And then get on into part of this teaching this week. Therefore, having been justified by faith, declared righteous by God, reconnected to God by faith, we have peace with God. No longer do we have to fear him. No longer do we have to fear the wrath and the separation in fearing him. Now it's he has grabbed us and we are his own. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. What does the word exult mean? Jump joyously. It does. Jump joyously. Jubilation. Celebration. Different than the word exalt. Two different words. We exult in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, verse 3, but we also exult in our tribulations. Did he really mean to say that? Really? Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is an absolutely precious, precious portion of Scripture. You could get along in life without it. Okay? But it's given to us as an encouragement to let us know what God has done matters. This is true for you, whether you know it or not, if you're a believer in Jesus. And like Ephesians, when it taught through it, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you care or not. Tribulation. Tribulation is not just for the Christian. And we're not talking about the great tribulation at the end, the 7 years. Tribulation is not just for Christian. Life is full of tribulation. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace, there's a future for to every man who does good, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Tribulation is what life is about, it seems like. Tribulation is something all people, the guy driving down the road in the next 5 minutes, you'll hear his car, he's got tribulation in his life. I don't know who it is. Tribulation. Tribulation is the Greek word thlipsis. Don't worry about memorizing it. It won't be on the exam. Thlipsis, it means a pressing. A pressed down, pressed together. Pressure, oppression, affliction, distress. And you know those moments when, man, I'm feeling pressure to whatever. I'm feeling pressure from both sides, from all sides. Yeah. A few examples of thlipsis used outside of the Bible. Afflictions of those hard pressed by siege and the calamities of war. Thlipsis. They're coming. They're beating the wall down. Raping and pillaging, thlipsis. It's a word that's also used of the distress of a woman in childbirth. Some of the ladies here have a very recent memory of such things. I won't pick on them. The distress of childbirth. It's used in Philippians 4:14 by Paul, where he says, "You've done good to share with me in my afflictions." It's also used in James 1:27. Some of you have this memorized. James 1:27. But pure religion, undefiled before God and Father, is this: to visit, and it's a word that means to go with a purpose of ministry, to visit the widows and orphans in their afflictions. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. The widows and the orphans have unique afflictions. And though I might not relate to it, they have it. And God intends for the Christian to go and to minister to meet those unique needs that they have called afflictions. Thlipsis. Okay? Thlipsis. Life for the believer in Jesus, because of tribulation, that's what these verses are about, because of tribulation, has become a proving ground or an improving ground. Thus, tribulation for the believer in Jesus takes on an even higher purpose as we take refuge in the Lord, draw strength from the Lord, draw courage from the Lord, receive wisdom from the Lord. It becomes a testing and proving ground. Let's go back to James chapter 1 for a moment, please. First five verses of James 1. James 1:1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, thus afflicted. They've been scattered from home. They had to run with their family and little belongings for their life. They're having a tough time out there. Verse 2, consider it, count it this way, all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So a similar list. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. But guess what? In the middle of that affliction, I am scratching my head. I'm chewing my nails off. What do I do? So verse 5, James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, context, within the flipsis, within the affliction, within the trial, if you lack wisdom, the knowledge of what to do, the ability to do it, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. James goes on with his specific teaching. You can read it on your own. I'm going to focus back here. That when we are drawing from God, we are resting in God, we are seeking wisdom from God in the tribulation time, then there's a proving ground that happens. Something is at work, that God has a higher purpose. He's got the upper hand. Never forget that. That God can use this also for his glory and my good. Picks up the theme again in Romans 8:28, right? God is the one that causes all things to work together for good to those that love him. I tell you what, I don't always believe that. Because some of the confusion and the pain and the depth of turmoil, I can't bring my mind to figure out how God can bring glory to himself in this. How many children were just murdered? In Thailand, was it? By some nutcase. Hundreds of people mourning. Yeah, no kidding. Similar to when an evil man murdered all the male babies in the precinct around Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And Rachel, the picture of the mom, refused to be comforted. But I believe God. And I pray God would get the upper hand somehow. God can bring comfort in the midst of insanity. My little baby, I just sent them off to daycare center and now murdered. Really? I can't tell you how God is going to do what he's going to do, but I believe him. That too is thlipsis. Insanity. God, give wisdom to those people just to make it through today. Yes. Comfort where they refuse because it's wrong, but a comfort that might come. Truly, my words are empty. What can I pray? And we can go on with tragedy after tragedy. And it appears to me that horseman is on his way out, that has removed peace from people so men slay one another like this. Flipsis. Life for the believer in Jesus, because of tribulation, has become a proving ground. It's very interesting to me to have people who are not Christians, by their own confession, reach out and ask us to pray for them. when they're in the middle of the flipsis. You've had that, haven't you? Pray for me. It is Romans 1. Please pray for me. Well, there's an admission of, this is bigger than me and it hurts really a lot. I don't know what to do. And there's an inadvertent admission that there is someone, let's call just for the moment, generically, the higher power. You say you know God, you're a Christian, so you're connected to God if there is one. Pray for me. Well, I do, and I will, and I have. It's way cool to pray in the middle of public, if they're willing, with a non-believer. Because they asked me to. My prayer goes further. A lot of it's silent. God, let them know that they too can reach out and talk to you. Yes. Philipsis. So I've used the word proving ground, and here's what I mean by that. The place where non-essentials and useless props are removed. It's where I become aware that it's not all about me. I start losing weight. And I'm not talking about the bathroom scale. I have less and less to rely on and lean on and seek help in. It's not about my bank account. At the flip of a switch, that is going to become zero. We've had this affliction in our automobile world, in my family. Oh my goodness. One thing after another. But it's affliction. It's difficult. It's bringing our bank account down, making us scratch our heads and say, what is going on here? It's like a plague. Can plagues hit my cars all at once? What do you think, mechanic? I think they do. I don't know how all that works, but you know what? It is one of life's afflictions. It really is. Proving ground. Removing the non-essentials, removing that which I thought was propping me up, that which I trusted in. And it's pretty horrible when there's people that turn away from us that we've leaned on, turn their back on us, and walk away. Friendship ended when we leaned on them. What a horrible affliction, and I've had it. I've had people in our congregation that did that very thing. And I walk away thinking, I put my guts and life into this person for some years. And now, to them it's nothing. To me, a death has occurred. There's a proving ground. What am I going to do with it? Exult? What's that word mean? Jump joyously? When I understand the bigger picture, that's when I start this exulting. When I understand that God is going to use even this for his glory and my good. Proving ground. Thus, perseverance. What's an understanding of perseverance? Hang in there. What's that?
Keep on keeping on.
Keep moving forward. Finish. Keep on keeping on.
Finish the race.
There used to be a poster when I was a teenager of a cat hanging like this. Do you remember that? Anyway, hang in there.
Hang in there. Any other ideas, cliches, words?
Pushing through.
Pushing
through.
End up a turtle?
How so?
There
you go. Persevering to the end of that race. The tortoise and the hare. Turtle and the hare. Thus, perseverance leading to proven character. Do I want my character improve? Do I want to happen what Colossians talks about? Me being remade from the inside out into the image of Jesus. Proven character. How's proven character come? Man, you have a pill I can take and it's just done deal? proven character. How do I get there from here? Buck up, buddy. Wow. Persevering through flipsis leads to proven character, leading to hope. But it's not, it's a different type of hope than we use at Christmas time. The little kids, I hope I get a bicycle for Christmas. It's the hope that God has given to us. And I'm getting closer and closer to that finalization where I realize him face to face. Perseverance leading to proven character, leading to hope. If we rely, here's application. If we rely on other things than the Lord God to go through the flipsis, it may lead to hopelessness. It may lead to the medical doctor, the psychological doctor, psychiatrist. It may lead to self-harm. It may lead to just going crazy. But in God's marvelous wisdom and program, tribulation can lead us further to the hope that is certain because it is based on the promises of God and the actions of God. Here is what God has done. Here is what God is doing. Tighten your seatbelt. We're on for a ride. Let me pause there. Interaction, thoughts or questions anybody might have. I'm going to go Dave first.
The perseverance and the affliction should be like our works tried by fire. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it gets burned up. But if it's silver or gold, the dross is removed.
Thank you. Patty?
God can use everything, even when you don't see it. God is still there, and he will grow you up as long as you know there's a God in your heart, and you just rely on that during that very difficult time. He will be there. He will see you through, even when you're like, why, God? He is there.
Patty, if you would have said that 5 years ago, you wouldn't have the definition that you have today. And the understanding of what you just said. You're right. You've been through it. Armin?
Well, one thing we must never forget is we do live in a fallen world, and that's not going to last forever.
Hallelujah.
That the others don't have.
And already talked about in Romans, that hope that others do not have.
I think when you're saying practical application, it just brings to mind we really still in that moment have a choice. And a choice to make. And I don't think we always look at it that way. We just get pushed in a direction, especially in the middle of that, you know, affliction or that flipsis. We just sort of trend down the hill, not realizing I do have a choice right now. I can choose God. I can just even cry out in desperation. Like, God has given us free will to say, yes, Lord, please help me here, or I got this, and just like, you know, forget about it, keep going, whatever, you know. That's, we get pulled into things and we don't stop and say, okay, God, here, you help me, you can take the reins, I'll let go, you know, and it looks different in different situations.
My habit is that it's after I push through and break the bolt, then I look for help from God.
Yeah.
You know? It's like whatever it might be. Go ahead, Mark.
I see perseverance as everybody has to persevere. We all have trials. They just come with this life. That's just part of it. Character is how you react to your perseverance. And as you go through your trials and you react in a godly manner, does that not give us hope that we are changing, that we are getting better?
Improvement. Good. Other Mark.
I'm a baseball fan.
Talk with Stefan and Ron. Go ahead.
Well, a baseball player takes a long time to get up to the majors, and he strikes out a lot, makes a lot of outs, barely hits 300, but he perseveres.
Okay.
He keeps going and going until he gets better and better.
Good. Thank you. Ron, you had...
I think we miss a lot of this if we don't walk through life with God being looking through life through a grid of with God there. If what you're going through with your truck, if you haven't connected with God for a whole week, you're missing out on what God has got for you. So we have to keep God involved in our life with the fellowship, with Bible study, Bible reading. He has to be there in order to take together these blessings.
That's God's plan and program. Good. Martha?
Well, my words that have gotten me through a lot is God knows all about this.
Okay. You mean a lot by those few words.
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah. Dave, go ahead, Winchester.
So, Dan, we're speaking a lot about the positive effects of perseverance and hope. Total agreement. Well, mine has gone to a fellow that Paul mentions in the last letter that he writes, 2 Timothy. The man is Demas. Demas, in the first two instances in which he's mentioned, is called a fellow laborer with Paul. He's involved in ministry. My imagination has to say he saw a lot of positive stuff. But something happened to Demas, and Paul said he left us because of his attraction to the world, the negative stuff. And the perseverance would seem to, in my mind, take us through those temptations to say, if this is what Christianity is about, I don't need it. I don't need to have the stoning. I don't need to have the lashes. What some people in hindsight might look at as adventure, the shipwreck, those are all causes for Demas to say, no more for me, I'm out of here. Perseverance says, you move on through that. There were others with Paul at the same time. They held true to it. I look at people that I have known, one man in particular, that when I knew him, he was about 5'6" in height. And I was told by those close to him for many years, that was down 6 inches from his earlier height because he had severe operations on his legs that shortened them. But I never recall that guy looking down. He always had a pleasing greeting for the people who were around him. And somewhere that man had learned perseverance to push through what he was experiencing at the moment.
Good, thank you. So I've got a closing, yes, ma'am.
Something that just came to mind is, someone once said, things are caught, not taught. And just the beauty of people that are going through the deep trials is you're an example when you have that grit and that perseverance to get through it. You're a great example to the next person that is going to go through that trial. And you get to lift them up and help them through that and let them know it's okay. I made it through, so will you. I think there's a beauty to that as the church.
That's a different angle, absolutely on target. it has helped me at times, exactly as you're saying, to think back. Someone that I knew has been through a similar thing. Yes, perfect. Thank you. I like the word grit, too.
Me too. Me too.
So, knowledge. I said a little bit earlier that these are things that you don't have to know about, and it's true anyway. But knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus can give us the strength to face the day, the courage to look at the future with expectation and hope. Knowing this about our God, He's designed it this way. Knowing what we would go through, He has provided a way, He's provided His grace, He's provided His wisdom. And essential, I think we're going to look back and see how we were carried. Whereas we think we're just plodding. There have been times where I know God has ushered me through that. I didn't sense it or feel it at the moment, but I look back and say, wow, thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Daddy. Trudy?
Well, I have a question. I'm not quite clear in my mind. I understand, I believe that the concept of tribulation that we have been talking about today is things that go wrong that we didn't cause, that just happened to us. Are we talking also about when God sends things to stop us when we've been doing something wrong? Is this also called tribulation, or is there another word for that?
I don't know that it's called flipsis. I'll have to think about that one. Because the Lord disciplines us. Hebrews 12 talks about that. That's uncomfortable. I've never liked a spanking. Just something about it. But on the other side of that, He does it so we share in His holiness. But I'm not sure that the word flipsis is used there. And really, it's a whole other angle to the to life that we live. But it's definitely worth thinking into, for sure. So thank you.
Yeah, I really liked what Mark was talking about. You know, we have stuff happen to us all the time. You know, cars breaking down, blah, 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 sickness, broken legs. But what do we do with that with our character? You know, I mean, really, is my heart wanting to be like Jesus? Or am I just going, this isn't fair, and I'm just going to, you know.
I don't deserve it.
Yeah, I don't deserve this. But, you know, just something happened to me this week that, you know, I just was like furious about. And just today, really, every Sunday, because I drive alone, I talk to the Lord while I'm in the car, and He always is faithful to be quite present there. And I was saying, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then out of my mouth came, show me the log. Show me the log. I can't see the log unless you show it to me. Because truly, we all have a part in everything. And truly, do we want to get closer? Because those, you know, that peace that passes all understanding is Him. He is the peace.
Thank you. One of the things that we have not touched on today, and I'm not planning on it except to just make mention of it, and then I'll get back to Dave Blalack there, is what I had the privilege of experiencing in 1985 going in the communist countries to minister to people who were under Christian persecution. We have never experienced that. Except kind of vicariously, in a sense. Those people were reduced to, they had nothing but God. They didn't know that they would have a husband or wife tomorrow, or children, or a job. They did not know. Life was very, very real. And it was God and me. I'm, you know, that kind of affliction is real and true today for most of our brethren around the planet. Not for us yet. And that's why it is a privilege and a gift that we can meet freely. Nobody's peeking in the windows, you know. It's not monitored. As far as I know, there's no secret microphone in here. But every meeting I went to there, you can count on it. There were informers. There were horrible things that took place. Those experiences are also thlipsis. And God used even that to march through with these people, building character. 1989, when Romanian Iron Curtain fell, we got to go back, a few of us, in 2013. It was a different world, and not for the good. The churches, some of you heard this too many times, you'll say the words. A building this size with 300 people in it, packed tight, and it was stinky and uncomfortable. But they were there. 2013, it was reduced to the dozen. Freedom, an easier life, caused them to do what many Americans have done. I don't really need God. I'll do God when it's convenient.
So, Dan, affliction. Praise God when we have that kind of distress.
The word exult comes out right here.
And would that include the kind of pressure that you're talking about in the foreign countries? The kind that we say we don't experience, but maybe we're on the verge of experiencing that very thing now?
Get ready.
Yeah. You're saying, yes, we should.
Yes. Yes, that's what the scripture tells me. It's the big picture. Dave Blaylock?
I'm going to take yours one more step further here. You mentioned a horse and a horseman a while ago, taking peace for the world. Dave, are we stepping into pressure? You do realize the horseman you talked about is the second seal. It's the second horse in Revelation. Mm-hmm. So do you know something we don't know? are we there? Are we stepping into it?
Read about it.
If I heard correctly, you're asking me that question.
No, I didn't say that. I was moving forward. You can take it that way if you want.
And my answer...
That's a whole other topic here.
It is. Yes. And my answer is maybe.
Maybe.
Because I don't have a hotline to heaven about it. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's looking that way to me. Okay, we're about done. Mark, one more.
Our Savior was on the cross, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
How did he feel?
How did he what?
Agony, taking the sins of the whole world on him. So within each individual, we go through something, right? Everyone today goes through something. And you always have to look forward. Jesus looked forward, didn't he?
Sure.
To the resurrection. No more suffering throughout all eternity. So that's our...
Good.
The answer to your question, I think, Mark, is how did Jesus feel? That's the question. The answer is, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the same time, we're told later that the reason why he pressed through is for that which lay in the future for him, his hope. That made it worthwhile.
Yeah. Read about that in Isaiah 53. Read about it in the Gospels. Read about it in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, you haven't persevered to the point of shedding blood yet. Consider him. That's Jesus who did. Excellent.